The Hardening of Gentle Hearts, Part 3. On Hate. Fascism in the traditional sense is very different from the deliberately misleading fake-ism that is spread so maliciously by the Jewish-owned monopoly media today and the Jewish-owned big search engines. Fascism is in fact a very ancient, time-proven way of life, going back thousands of years. In recent times, it has resolutely opposed Jewish Bolshevik Communist Marxism, and rightly so. What the modern, trendy, leftist intellectual seems to utterly fail to grasp is the sheer, rabid, monstrous bloodthirstiness and sadistic cruelty amply on display after the successful 1917 Jewish coup in Russia. I understand that modern high school education, school educational materials supplied by Jewish-owned McGraw-Hill, ignores such trivia. After all, what's 70 to 100 million butchered Russians? White Russians, Christian Russians, a lot of more. A lot of more who? Kulaks, Armenians. Genric Jakoda. Who? I see all that. I see how McGraw-Hill instead focuses your child's attention in laser-like on the infinitely more diabolical 6 million Jews. After all, nobody ever in the entire history of humanity ever suffered like Jews, right? Which is why they have received something like 120 billion from the German government, which is why some schools have Holocaust rooms where you may enter and sadly peruse a well-stocked inventory of 6 million Jews' books, movies and reruns, and Frank's Diary, version number 6, in glorious Technicolor, Schindler's List, that unrivaled Spielberg documentary, right? You believe that? Onward to university, and we discover the amazing workings of Tag Team Torah, the world's biggest nepotism and mutual upvote racket. The heads of universities, major departments. Again, I see all that, but I'm baffled how the honest seeker today, armed with the internet today, cannot for himself discover troubling clues. That today's Talmudic enforced consensus hides murderous, demonic, unspeakably cruel secrets. All of which brings me back to something I mentioned in part one. I wrote, when our flying ace hero, Lieutenant Jeremy Armstrong, smashes up his dearly beloved gramophone player, we are in the midst of World War I, the explosive act marks a milestone on his pilgrimage. It represents the deliberate cold-blooded smashing up of the soul's erstwhile peace, a break from the past. Now, angered to searing intensity, hate has become the dominant driving force. I have a caution to make in this regard. If I tell the young, sincere fascist, in the traditional anti-communist sense, that some of the appalling atrocities against young Gentile women included dragging them into torture and execution chambers, where the floor was ankle-deep in fresh human blood, where they were methodically shown the hacked-off breasts from previous one-way visitors, where the Jewish tormentors, the lower-caste brute thugs from the shtetls, cruelly competed with one another to discover every day new and original forms of excruciating torture, revelling in the dying screams. If I told them they would take a man, preferably a priest, a monk, a teacher, or the town mayor, an intellectual, an artist, a landowner, or if they felt like it, any of their servants, strip him naked, slit his stomach, drag out the end of the intestinal system, nail that to a tree, and then with vicious clubs and boots, force the priest to run around the tree, shrieking in agony, unwinding his guts around the stake. All the while the assembled mob laughing hysterically, enjoying the show. If I told him about the surrendered Polish army, after the 1939 Russian invasion? What happened to their leadership? The Katyn massacre was a series of mass executions of nearly 22,000 Polish military officers and intelligentsia after they were made prisoners of war. It was carried out by the Soviet Union, specifically the NKVD, People's Commissariat for Internal Affairs, the Soviet secret police, in April and May 1940, though the killings also occurred in the Kalinin and Kharkiv prisons and elsewhere. The massacres named after the Katyn Forest, where some of the mass graves were first discovered by German forces. The massacre was initiated in NKVD chief Lavrenty Beria's proposal to Joseph Stalin to execute all captive members of the Polish officer corps, which was secretly approved by the Soviet Politburo, led by Stalin. Of the total killed, about 8,000 were officers imprisoned during the 1939 Soviet invasion of Poland. Another 6,000 were police officers, and the remaining 8,000 were Polish intelligentsia, the Soviets deemed to be intelligence agents and gendarmes, spies and saboteurs, former landowners, factory owners and officials. The Polish army officer class was representative of the multi-ethnic Polish state. The murdered included ethnic Poles, Ukrainians, Belarusians and Jews, including the chief rabbi of the Polish army, Baruch Steinberg. The government of Nazi Germany announced the discovery of mass graves in the Katyn Forest in April 1943. Stalin severed diplomatic relations with the London-based Polish government in exile when it asked for an investigation by the International Committee of the Red Cross. I believe the earnest young man's eyes would open wide, even without me telling him that many of the slaughtered officers were retrieved from their silent forest graves with their hands tied behind their backs, most cruelly with a barbed wire, with evidence of brutal torture, their eyes gouged out, that an attempt was made outrageously to later blame this on the Germans, that FDR, the Jewish American president, himself surrounded by Jewish advisers, the man responsible for force dragging a heavily reluctant America into World War II via the Pearl Harbor back door, in which he deliberately sacrificed Americans. If I told my young fascist friend that FDR knew early on exactly who had committed the Katyn massacre, but he kept silent for fear of alienating the Polish voter base. Such cynicism. I believe my earnest young fascist friend would ball his fists, narrow his eyes and rage. And I, aware of the fuse I had lit, might proceed to tell him the following cautionary tale. An allegory of a sunlit walk high over the mountains, with good friends and soul comrades, reveling in idealistic youth.